Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
4 years ago, our guest today was diagnosed with cancer of the lymph nodes, liver, bones, and blood. And joining us from Wales to tell us his remarkable story is Philip Watkins. Philip, it's good of you to do this. We appreciate it. Thanks very much.
It's not a problem, Ian. Not a problem at all.
I understand that you got the all clear a couple of weeks ago. Tell us about that.
Well, basically, it was 4 years ago that I got diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma, and I couldn't do chemo, so I tried chemo twice. I had to look around for alternative medicine. So I started on the oil, and I did actually have the oil clear about 18 months after I originally had it. I was supposed to keep on doing the maintenance, and I didn't carry on. And it was a few months ago, I went for a CT scan, and it showed up that the cancer had returned to my liver, but it also had gone to my spleen. So basically what I did was I went back onto the RSO oil and a few other detoxes. I did the full course. Well, I've done 50 milligrams already, and 10 to 15 days later, I had a PET scan, and that came back all clear. So within the space of 2 to 3 weeks, with a new course I was told to take, where I was just taking 2 to 3 drops every 4 hours on the original course I did, I'd been taking 3 milligrams a day before the PET scan. So when the PET scan came back, I was well pleased, because it's twice now that I've actually beaten cancer. So and that's without chemo domain. But obviously, you have to do other things like adjust your diet. I've changed the way I drink stuff. Like, I won't take sugar. I won't drink soft drinks. I just drink water. Basically, it's alkaline water. So I use that. There's a few other things I do use. I do actually use 2 Fevers as well. That does help. And I use methylene blue as well.
Tell us about methylene blue. I was reading something about that the other day. I'd never heard of it. Tell us what that is.
Well, I'm not too sure. I've got to be honest with you. It was the first time I've ever taken methylene blue. And I've been taking like 2 drops in with a pint of water every morning. I just knock it back. And that, I've been okay with it. I've had no problems with it. My oil supplier is the one that supplied it with me and suggested it.
Okay.
And it seems to work for me. It does seem to work for me. And the way the thing is, I was worried about taking the course of oil again, because I was doing drops underneath the tongue every 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I started with 1 drop, and then it was 2 drops, and then it was 3 drops, and I was up to 4 drops. And I was doing that every 4 hours whilst I was awake. And I didn't like, I honestly didn't like getting stoned, to be honest with you. And because my day was wrecked, basically, because for the 3 months that I was taking the oil, I found it very difficult. So I was very dubious about taking the oil, doing it again. But once I spoke to my oil supplier and explained how to do it, sort of suppositories, I could take a lot more oil and not feel the effects. If you understand what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I could carry on my day. All I was doing was 3 times a day I was taking a mill of oil. I'm still taking it now, but I am taking any today to make sure that I'm okay. Do you mean 100%?
It's a compass mentis for us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you all don't... right. We can interpret really well when we're speaking to somebody who's stoned.
Actually, yeah, I've done this program when I was a little high on occasion.
Yes,
I don't mind getting stoned. The only time I do actually get stoned, if I'm doing an evening meal before I go to bed or a couple of hours before I go to bed, What I've done since I had cancer, mm-hmm. I put it on my food. I put it on my steak or spaghetti bolognese and stuff like that. Where I can get it in, I will cook it. And if it's my last meal of the night and I'm going to sleep,
mm-hmm.
because I don't like the effects of being too stoned. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Philip. Let's go back to the beginning. What were you feeling like prior to being diagnosed with cancer?
I had a lot of fatigue. I've still got fatigue now, mind. I am got rid of it completely, the fatigue bit of it. I was tired. I didn't really want to do anything. And it was a funny feeling. And I kept on going to my doctor and that and for months. And when I went to the doctor, and they said, this is how I got diagnosed. Basically, I've got heart problems and I got emphysema. And when they diagnosed emphysema for me, the way the consultant said it, he said, these are the exact words. He said, you've got about 5 to 10 years to live with the emphysema. But do you want the good news? This is what the exact words. He said, do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? I said, I'll have the good news first. He said, well, you've got about 5 to 10 years for the emphysema. Mm. I said, oh. And he said, I think you've got cancer and I think you're going to have a lot shorter life because I think you've got about six months to a year to live. And then when I went saw the cancer consultant, he did say you had 6 months to live if you don't take chemo. And I said, I can't do chemo. Look, I tried it the once and I just couldn't get on with it. I had septi, which basically kept me in hospital for, 3 weeks.
Sorry to interrupt, but just for the listeners, what exactly was your diagnosis the first time and also the second time round, please?
Right. The first time round was Hodgkin lymphoma, stage 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the cancer consultant. This time, when I had the CT scan, well, obviously, they don't diagnose you until you've had a PET scan. They can't tell you what stage you are. All they can say is they found something, and that's it. So when you have a PET scan, then they tell you what stage you are. But when I had a PET scan this time, there was nothing there after the CT scan. I think it was about 3 to 4 weeks afterwards that I had the CT scan when they found there was a problem with my spleen and my liver. And so when I went for the PET scan, it was about 3 weeks later because it obviously with COVID and that, everything's a bit slower nowadays. So, it'd gone because I'd taken so much oil and they couldn't find anything in my PET scan. And I don't have to go back and see my consultant for another 4 months. So I spoke to my consultant and he said they can't find anything. It's gone.
But it was actually in your liver and your spleen this time.
Yeah, I did. I don't totally understand the process. I did have something called NIDI done.
Non-invasive diagnostic imaging for people who are there. Google that, NEDI.
Yeah, that's it. I had that done straight after I was diagnosed after the CT scan this time. And it showed like a phosphorus black things on where my liver is on the imaging and on my spleen. So it was definitely there with the CT scan. But times I'll probably do another NIDI test and she'd probably say exactly the same as what the PET scan said. It's clear, like, do you mean?
Yeah. So, Philip, when you were diagnosed the first time, you were stage 4 as well, which would have meant it had metastasized to places. Do you remember where it had metastasized? And can you talk to us a little bit about the regime you did to clear yourself of cancer the first time and how long it took?
Yeah, it took me about 90 days. I was feeling a lot better after, I got to be admit, once I started the oil the first time, because it started off in my lymph nodes. That's what Hodgkin lymphoma is. It starts off in your lymph nodes and then it spreads throughout your body. Like, so it ended up in my blood, my liver and my bones. And basically I took nothing with sugar in because I believe sugar does actually feed the cancer and it does spread it. So, and I changed my diet a little bit. I didn't I didn't go onto an alkaline diet or a vegan diet. I was a lot more wary of what I was eating regarding junk food and stuff, because obviously junk food is not good for you, really. Mm-hmm. So, and this time I've done exactly the same, but obviously a different route with the oil and obviously with the water as well I've added on. But and like I said, two feathers as well. I'm not sure what that does. It's just a pill I take in the morning.
Yeah, the two feathers, Phil, is for listeners who are wondering what the heck it is. It's an ingestible black salve.
Yeah, yeah. It comes in a little tub, and basically, you got some capsules, and they just put it into the capsule, and that's it. One in the morning, one at night. I'm coming to the end of my first tub now after being diagnosed this time.
Yeah, just an FYI for listeners, not all black salve is ingestible. Please don't start doing that. This is the only one that I know of that is actually ingestible.
Yeah, definitely. I do take other supplements like vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc. Hang on a minute. Yeah, zinc and vitamin C. I take that as well. There are a few other bits and bobs I take, but what I found was when I got the okay the first time, I started coming off my medication as well, to be honest with you. There's only one medication I actually take now, and that's for indigestion, and that's it. I was on like 8-9 tablets every morning, and say about 4 or 5 in a night as well for different things. But I've had no need of taking them at the moment.
What were those tablets for, Phil, if you don't mind me asking?
Blood pressure, my heart. Because I've stopped taking it for my heart, really. I've now, because I know I got a furin, because I had a heart attack, believe it or not, 24 years ago, 23 years ago when I was 30. And I actually died. I've been pretty lucky with death. I've managed to scrape it. So I've been taking pomegranate seeds to get rid of the heart. So I believe in alternative medicine to do it that way, basically. So what I basically do with pomegranate seeds, I get a handful, I put them into a saucepan of a pint of water, I boil them up, and then I'll make a cup of tea with it. And that's it. I let it simmer for 15 minutes, and then I'll make a cup of tea with it. Because I think I believe that's helping the fear in my heart as well.
So, Philip, after you cleared yourself the first time of cancer, and what response did the doctors give you?
He was shocked. He was. The first, when I first went in, I said, I'm not having chemo. He said, you're going to be dead within 6 months. He said, that's how long I give you. Within 6 months, you're going to be dead. And when I went for it was about a year later, I rang him up and said, why haven't I had any follow-up calls or anything like that? And it was just when I started COVID, mm-hmm. or 2 years ago. It was just the start of COVID. And I said, well, why haven't you bothered ringing me or contacting me to do any tests or anything to find out if it's gone or not, or it's got worse? And I basically went in that consultant's office and I ripped into him. And on that day, I actually had a blood test done with the results on the same day. I had a CT scan and I had a bone biopsy. And they found absolutely nothing after the first time in any of the tests. Because obviously, if you have a CT scan, that was showing that my lymph nodes were okay. The blood test then tells you if your liver's working 100% and your blood's okay. And the obviously the bone biopsy was saying there was no cancer within my bones. So
wow.
He must have been awfully shocked to discover that, considering he said you'd be dead in 6 months.
Yeah, but the thing is, they say you're in remission, don't they? But no help with them, to be honest with you. Timmy, because if this was legal there is legal in Britain medical cannabis oil, but it's only for epileptic children. They will not allow it for any other diseases or anything else, including cancer. They only allow it in this country legally. They've let it go to a few children in Wales. I think there's about four or five in Wales who have actually had it for epileptic fits to calm them down. Mm-hmm. But they won't give it to you on prescription for cancer. They don't want it to. They don't want to prove it. The cannabis oil actually works. Like, basically, yeah. There's no money in it, is it?
There isn't. No, Philip. Was there any doubt in your mind ever that cannabis oil would work, or did you go into this just knowing that the end result was going to be you were going to be clear?
Well, I did a lot of research first, and then I spoke to my. I went onto a few groups and stuff. I started chatting. I met my oil maker on there, one of the groups. We become friends, and she gave me loads of advice. And I've always had a positive attitude. If I've done my research, and I wouldn't put my life in danger if it wasn't, I knew it was going to work. And I've read so many stories, met so many people who've actually been cured of cancer through the oil. I believe in it totally, 100%. Well, I've got to watch what I say because of the Cancer Act of 1939. I can't say cure, can I?
No, don't use that C word. There's so many different C words out there you can't use. Right?
Philip, go ahead, Corey.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think something really important to bring out in this interview is the fact it's my understanding you were on a maintenance dose, which we always recommend after you're clear. But then you stopped taking that maintenance dose, correct?
Yeah, I stopped taking it for about 18 months to a year. And then
that's when it came back.
Yeah, that's when I had. So that was a mistake I made, and that's not going to be a mistake I make again. So that's a cert.
Yeah, we don't want to give you hell for doing that, but we will.
No, I think his provider probably already did too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've got about 10 milligrams left to just one syringe left now to take for to finish the course. But I've done the course in say about 4 weeks, 5 weeks tops.
That's a pretty remarkable amount of oil to get in that short of time there, Philip. Just saying.
It's a lot easier if you're using a suppository. You can take a lot more in and do a lot more quicker, as far as I'm concerned. Like, definitely. I found it a hell of a lot easier this time because I wasn't getting high so much.
Yeah, when you walked out of the doctor's office the first time that you were all clear, you must have been had a huge smile on your face. Thinking I've got this bugger beaten.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've helped so many people since by passing on information how I did it to other people, because I told my story a few times on my on my lives and stuff like that. My show on a Wednesday. I've told, because I cover everything, like, and I've told that story a few times. And a lot of people do contact me, and I do send them in the right direction. I think it's the right thing to do is to help people, as simple as that.
Right. And as Corey mentioned a few moments ago, continuing with the maintenance dose is critical in keeping cancer at bay. And I think you're an example of what will happen if you don't. Exactly.
And yeah, that's...
And it must have been a hell of a shock for you to know that it came back.
Yeah, I always had it in my mind it was going to come back if I stopped the maintenance dose, but I thought, I've got the all clear now, I'd be okay for a bit, definitely. And then when it did come back, it was a bit of a shock, really. But I knew I could beat it, and I knew my oil maker could help me with the fact of beating it. Like, you know, I've taken a lot of different stuff this time than I did last time, mind. Like the two feathers, the methylene blue, and... the rest of the stuff I've taken, like, you know, so. But the oil is a little bit different to what I took the first time, because it's my oil maker calls it 4-1. It's slightly different to one.
Yeah, it's a 4-1 ratio that several providers have adopted because we're getting such profound success with that particular blend in the United States. So that's what's happened. Yeah. So 4-1 is what you did.
Corey, explain to listeners what you mean by 4-1.
It's four parts of THC to one part of CBD.
Yeah. CBD is an answer to cancer. Correct?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
I can't tell you, and I've said this before, I cannot tell you how many people we have lost because they thought that CBD alone would kill their cancer.
Yeah, we got CBD oil in the UK, but it's like 5% THC.
That's
not going to cure anything. Up to 10%, that's all you can buy in this country.
Yeah,
it's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time and it's a waste of money, and CBD alone will not clear cancer.
Yeah, you're exactly right there. Exactly right.
Philip, has your success in dealing with your cancer changed your outlook on life at all?
Yeah, definitely. It's changed my life completely because we were going through Brexit in the UK at the time, and we were waiting to leave the EU. And when I had been given the 6 months to live and I started on the oil, I thought, right, if I don't survive this, I want to do something for my kids. So what I basically did, I started going to protests and stuff like that, and trying to push, because our government was trying to not let us have Brexit. Mm-hmm. And basically 52% voted, the biggest vote in the UK history, to leave the EU. So I thought, right, I want to be there. So I started filming as well. So I wanted people to spread awareness to it. And then it changed my life completely because I started going to different types of protests for the children, filming adults who were being abused when they were kids and stuff like that, and beating it, and taking on the system and beating it. Then I was getting involved with the veterans, which I do a lot of promo work for a veterans, a PTSD camp, and I do all their promo work for them because my name is starting to get out there as far as filming and stuff, and I'm willing to go out there and spread awareness on injustices. So, yeah, and then I do a lot of filming for you've got it in Canada as well. It's called it's RSE, Sex Education. We're the only country out of the 52 countries which are fighting our government regarding sex education being taught to children from the ages of 3. Now, so it's put me on a completely different course of what I was in management for 15 years, and so I've not worked for 4 years, but my life has gone to a different course in helping others. It's the same. If somebody, I tell my story on my podcast, on my show on a Wednesday night, I mention about the cancer sometimes. I sometimes have my oil maker on there. We discuss it. What's the best remedies for different illnesses with alternative medicine. So it's changed my life completely, really. And it's given me a positive outlook to life that I've got something to live for and something to spread to people. But there are times where you think you go a little bit too far because you know you can be arrested for saying certain things. Mm-hmm. And it's not good then, but we try to get around it, don't we, by not mentioning our oil maker and stuff like that. But obviously, if I said certain words like cure, then you can get arrested. Yeah. Because somebody has been arrested in the UK for a different cancer remedy. David Noakes and his missus was. So they ended up in prison. Well, the wife ended up in France in prison, and he got tried in this country and then was sent to France. They're not in prison now, mind. But big farm do not want it out there that you can actually put into remission cancer with cannabis oil. As simple as that.
Philip, your use of cannabis oil, from what you said earlier, I suspect that it has helped your heart issue and your emphysema?
I wouldn't say it's helped my emphysema because I do struggle breathing I have noticed I've got major problems with breathing if I'm like some marches are 15 mile long, like, do you know, through the central of London, like, do you know. So it all depends. If it's on a flat, it's not so bad. But as soon as I go on a bill, I can tell my emphysema is getting worse. My heart, I think the furin of the heart and the angina I've got, I think it is getting better with the pomegranate seeds. So, but I'll know more next week. I got another CT scan for my heart next week. Mm-hmm. That then I'll know if the furin of the heart has got worse or it's declining. So I'll know if the pomegranate seeds are working then.
Well, boy, you said earlier you had your heart attack at the age of 30. That's awfully young for a heart attack.
Yeah, that was a clot. A clot went to my heart.
Oh, okay.
Well, a clot went to my heart, and, it must have gone to my heart twice because I had two. The first time they said it was water on the lungs. The second time I collapsed I was in the right place. I went to A&E because I was having pains. And I collapsed and died in A&E hospital. The reception desk. I was in the right place for them to bring me back. Like,
perfect timing.
I got out of the taxi. He said, "You're looking a bit peaky," because I was being sick all day. Wales were actually playing in the World Cup in 1999, and they got through to the quarterfinal. I couldn't drink all day. I couldn't celebrate, and so around about 12, I didn't even tell my wife I was going to hospital. I thought I was just watering my lungs, so I jumped in a taxi instead of an ambulance. And I just collapsed, and they brought me back. So I'm still. Wow. I was brought back for a reason. I purposely think I was brought back for a reason.
So, another day, another brush with death.
Yeah, I've had a few of those.
Was your wife happy that you you came back?
Yeah, she was happy. I did.
You had to think about that, Philip.
Yeah. Well, I divorced her about 5 years afterwards.
So. Oh, I see. Oh. Okay.
Right then, already.
Okay. Well, I think the doctors must be totally amazed at what's happened to you, having cancer twice, having it spread the second time into other areas of your body, and then getting the all clear again. Do they ever ask you what you're doing?
I told the doctor what I was going to do. Before I left the first time. But this time I haven't even seen my consultant this time.
Oh.
They just sent me for a CT scan. And when he came back, he phoned me up directly. And he just said, "I'm going to put you in for an MRI scan," the secretary said. And then the doctor rang me up and said, "No, it's not the consultant." He said, "Not. We're going to actually put you in for a PET scan because we want the full PET scan on here. Because it's more clearer." But he said, "If it's more expensive, but this time, will you go through with the chemo?" And obviously I said yes, just to get the PET scan. There was no way was I going to turn around. And I certainly won't have a biopsy again. That's another thing I would never, ever have. Mm-hmm. Because I believe when I had a biopsy the first time, that actually spread to cancer. Do you know
what I mean? Well, to stage four. Biopsy of what?
One of my lymph nodes down in my groin area.
Oh, okay.
There's no way I would have it again. That's a definite. Not after what I've researched and found out after. It's like a balloon, isn't it, with water in it. If you put a pin in it, the water comes out and spreads.
Ooh.
I mean, so it's the same thing with a tumor, like, or any part of the body which is infected with cancer. People like to call them parasites, not cancer. It's parasites.
Do you know what you should? You know what you should do, Philip? The next time you see your consultant who said you'd be dead in 6 months, get one of those Halloween costumes of a skeleton and walk into his office and say, "Here I am."
Yeah, with a sheet over me. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, definitely scare the hell out of him.
I think you really typify, I think, the successful cannabis user for serious illnesses by your mental attitude and your change in diet. And Corey has mentioned many, many times over the years in this program that it is more than just taking the cannabis oil and continuing to eat a lousy diet. It's body, mind, and spirit, right, Corey?
Yeah, it's a holistic approach. So, yeah, it's important.
Yeah, definitely. And get the fluoride out of the water, because I'm sure they're poisoning you with that as well.
Yeah. Philip, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Is there anything that you'd like to say to listeners in conclusion?
I'd say to every listener, never give up. Always go for the oil. If you can't do the chemo, well, I would never turn around and say, don't do chemo. I would never ever say that. I know most oil makers will say that. I'll say it's an individual choice. But yes. My individual choice is alternative medicine from now on. For any illness, I will look for an alternative medicine to try and cure me, because Big Pharma are only out there to earn money off you and to keep you earning money off you, and that's it. It's profit, not cure, as far as Big Pharma are concerned. And I'd say go for the oil, definitely, because that's a much better way to sort your body out, and it's a natural way of doing it, not something that's got mustard gas in it.
Right. Philip, pleasure to talk to you. I wish you all the best in the future, and I know you've got this beaten, and you'll live a long, healthy life. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It's been a delight to have you on.
All right. Thank you both.
And a great story from Philip, and we'd like to thank him for coming on the program and telling his story. And we'd like to thank you, our listener, for supporting us at Cannabis Health Radio. And if you don't support us, or if you'd like to support us, there are a few ways you can do that. You can become a monthly subscriber, monthly supporter for $5 a month on our Patreon page, and you can also make a one-time donation through our website, cannabishealthradio.com. And we have no sponsors on the program, and the reason being is you are the sponsor. You can change a life, you could save a life by sharing our podcasts on the social media platform in which you hear this. And we'd like to thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you. Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Season 1 of Dope History is now available at dopehistory.com. Dope History weaves you through the lives of those who have been touched by cannabis or have had an influence on the events that shaped our laws or relationships with this plant. You'll hear tales from Frenchie Cannoli, Keith Strop, Eddie Lepp, Tom Alexander, Ed Rosenthal, Wolf Seagull, Jorge Cervantes, and Tommy Chong. Available now at dopehistory.com.